Hi, today's April 29th, 2020, and it is 2:53. I screenshot one of my emails saying that I hit 100 downloads for this podcast. I was going to put that on my website. Then I saw, I do get emails from The Mighty, which is a website that deals with many disabilities, not only autism, but many physical and I would like to say diagnoses that are associated with the organ of the brain. So I started reading it, but I only got past to the first paragraph. I figured, let me read it. It is titled, now whether I'm going to agree with this or not, I'm not sure. I stopped, honestly, I stopped reading things from Mighty. Some are good, some are... Again, I don't want to categorize good or bad. Some I agree with, some I don't. I went to a writing session. I've tried many different outlets to try to better my writing or make my writing better or find ways, a platform to be able to... broaden myself. And honestly, it's just me being able to get out of this slump that I am in. And I don't think it's more than a slump or not a slump at all. It's just I am, you know, since I've gotten my autism diagnosis, you know, again, going to ramble, but I think always within my rambling, there's always at least one or two quality things that can be caught in it that I think are worth something. So, you know, more and more people have been diagnosed in their later years. And it's because of awareness. No, I'm not a unique person who's been diagnosed on the spectrum in their later years. I was diagnosed 45, 46. I'm not exactly sure the exact year, honestly. Everything starts to just blend in together over time. It just became a very... so many traumatic incidents started happening, you know, within such a short period of time. My mother passed, my brother passed 2 years later. Then my husband had a triple bypass, actually on my daughter's sweet 16th birthday, the exact day. And I never want to sound like I'm complaining, and that's the last thing. I want it to be more... that I am trying to inspire people. That, you know, if I could, you know, conquer things that everyone can, you know, and right now we are going through such a terrible time with coronavirus and people are losing family members in the same household, you know, and this doctor, this ER doctor who was a director and who had gotten the coronavirus herself and then recovered from it and then committed. I don't know. Again, people talk about what is the right way to say things. You know, she took her own life. In the one of the recordings, I said that, you know, we wear masks, and I don't mean we as in people in the spectrum. We as human beings. I watched this parents of a teenager, and they went on vacation, and the young girl, it's on my YouTube, and I have two YouTubes out, one's an older, one's a newer, one just has my recordings, and I'm trying to combine it, but, and then one has a bunch of other people's TED Talks and other YouTubers, and it's under suicide. And these parents, they went on vacation, and the young girl, she ended up having a journal that the father found later. And the interpretation of the young girl's poems or writings were totally different of what the parents saw. And, you know, people in general could hide their emotions. It's just people. It doesn't have to be that something is wrong with you. I guess that is why I shared these rambling on. It's not whether I have autism or someone has a diagnosis. You know, I lived a well life after my childhood and adolescence. I put that aside. I put that away. Yes, did it come back and haunt me? Yeah, when many things happened, you know, when it wasn't so much, you know, my mother passing away or my brother. Yes, that did affect me. But, you know, I was married, I was divorced a couple of times. But what really, you know, devastated me was what was happening, you know, to my daughter. And how, not that I lost control in the way that I lost control of myself, you know, that I spun out of control. No, I didn't. That's not what I mean. It was that I, and my daughter wasn't taken away from me. It was that I couldn't help her. I just couldn't help her. You know, and other people had control over her, and they weren't doing anything really to help her either. And you feel hopeless. You know what it's like to feel hopeless for your child? And those were the things that were, you know, making me more and more building up, and I guess was making my autism that I never realized I had more prevalent, more. But again, like I said, no one else was able to really see. Yeah, was I eccentric, you know? And was I, but nothing that anyone, if you ask people who knew me in business, you know, would never, ever, ever think that I was in the spectrum, you know? You know, they would know, you know, would never think. It just became more predominantly known to me because I started to see things within myself, you know, and then I went more looking back in my childhood. But I am losing track again. I know I was talking about the mighty thing and then going to this reading thing and yada yada yada. But I wanted to go more back to about people, and that, and this doctor who took her life, and how people, because this is important, and not that it's not important, whatever this person wrote, because it caught my eye, and I did want to read it, but it is important that people, one, and I spoke before about people not judging, and again, I'm not any angel, and better than anyone. I always want to stress that, but things happen to everyday people, whether you come from a social class of a higher society, you know, of with wealth, or you come from a society with just, you know, working class society, or unfortunately, people think that this is a you know, people who are not capable. You know, these are people of, you know, welfare people, people who don't know how to, you know, cope, people that are just looking for a handout, that people that are not educated, people who just are not able to, you know, push themselves, you know, just, you know, get over it, you know, or, you know, get over it, push yourself, you know, don't be lazy, you know. And that is like the interpretation of, you know, depression kind of thing. And it's always been a condescending interpretation, you know, or someone who takes their life, they were just weak. You know, if you felt like killing yourself, you were being weak, and you're looking for attention. And that is furthest from the truth. And that is what needs to be understood. You think this doctor is weak? She didn't get to where she was because she is weak. And I think I, one of the titles that is Everyone Has a Breaking Point. You know, somewhere along the line, I don't know much or understand much of it about clearly what a breaking point is. And I did say, and I explained before, that I don't think I would ever kill myself. And I can't say because I love my kids, and that is one part of it. And I don't want to say that's all of it, because people have children and they've killed themselves. And I'm sure, and I know 100% those people love their children, you know. I do know that I believe it's an impulse, and I have recordings, very emotional recordings, that one day I'd like to share, but I would only share if someone heard these things and I was publicly known, and know that I was publicly known, and more established, actually, and it was more understood, before I would expose those things. And that's what's necessary. The people have to understand and look and see a person and see how. And I don't mean established now. I don't want any money for anything. I would put my money, any money I would ever make from any book or documentary, because I really do have a story. But I would put that money to go to good use. I would put it for children. I would put it for poverty. I would put it towards where the money needs to be given. I mean, I give money now for donations, but I don't give a lot because right now I don't have a lot. But I still do give. I mean, it's, again, it's not much what I give, but I do give, and I could always prove that. But but my point is that I don't need establishment like that. I was already established, and that's also my point. I was established. I made good money. I bought property. Before I was 40, I had already purchased 5 properties. So again, this is not tooting my horn. I just want to explain. The point is that people are people. Humans are humans. I had my white picket fence, my 2 cars in the garage, my dog, whatever, however that song goes. And people are people, and people have, and all that could be taken away, and your life could drastically change, and that doesn't make you any less than you were the day before when you had all those things. Nor should you be treated any less. I guess that's what my point is. It's not what you have that makes you who you are. It's who you are that makes you who you are. Nor is it a diagnosis that makes you who you are. It's no different than, I'm sure, and I can't put myself in that category, when a soldier comes back and a part of his limb had to be amputated. And I know that has, I mean, I don't know from experience, but, you know, and you can't get the same effect and just from watching a movie either. But you know only from not from experience, but from human compassion. And how you feel about that person. Or you know that they're a hero, and you know that they're the same person. It didn't take away their character. It didn't take away their kindness. And if they were a mean, nasty son of a bum before that, they're the same mean, nasty son of a bum, just without whatever limb. You know, there's a saying that, you know, money doesn't make you. If you were a nasty person before you won a lottery, you're the same nasty person. And if you were a good, kind, generous person, you're the same good, kind, generous person. But somewhere, like I've said before, because I've now experienced, again, the system, the systemic stigmatization in the system. There's a blanketed, institutionalized mindset that is still so systemic within institutions, in agencies, along a whole magnitude of besides legislation, okay, but in red tape and bureaucracy, in way things are done, that is so counterproductive, that is so anxiety driven, that it makes it so difficult for people that have diagnoses to get anything to get done, is so counterproductive that most people, well, I don't know about most people, but that I know that it has to be, because for myself, to have to do it for my daughter has to be why we have such a high rate in the statistics of society and homelessness. There is no way that people are able to get through what needs to get done to get the help that is necessary. That has always been what my cause is, what's my reason, and why I want to do what I'm doing. And if it's exposing myself and what I feel ashamed of and my rambling on, then so be it. And if it gets to where, and I've always said, and one day I hope maybe I will get, and I've said this before in many recordings that are not here, because I get it, like I said, a million recordings that are me talking to people within these agencies that are recorded, and a million documentations that I have saved. If ever I get a team to help, I mean, I do want a documentary, and it of so much, you know, and the ironic of part of it, of my childhood intertwining about how it, of my daughter and her life. I even have recordings of me and my daughter talking, and those with because I know I said something about something that might be on recording that my daughter wouldn't know, because that might have been by accident, because sometimes my recordings aren't a lot, but there are recordings that my daughter does know that are recorded, that because there was a time it was going to be a podcast with me and her, called JME, and this pictures, you know, where it says JME. So, but, okay, Jane, the thought lost again. I mean, again, I always say I don't want to bring politics into it. And, you know, there was a poll out that even more than 50% of Republicans don't even trust our president. And the reason I bring that in is, if you could just imagine, we don't have to imagine, but if you could see and hear the contradicting statements on our president's Twitter page, right? And hear the contradicting statements to be even blatant lies. Even the fact when he was asked that, have you contacted any people that have died besides the one person that you know personally, of families of the coronavirus. And then he says that, yes, he has. He contacted, I can't quote the whole conversation, but, you know, word for word. I can't think of the big word, verbatimly, whatever. And then he goes in, like, he says he didn't know them. And then he says that he did know them, that they were business people that were friends of him that he didn't know. He just fast talks. He just rambles on, kind of like what I'm doing. But at least what I'm rambling on, I hate to put that in the same sentence, but I'm actually saying things that are really, really true. And then I even mindfully, where my mind wanders, that I want to just emphasize where, so people do not get a misunderstanding of what I'm actually saying, you know. So, and as I'm thinking right now, is maybe that is actually what the president's trying to say, because he said he didn't know them, and then he's trying to say that he kind of knows them, or he does know them, and they're friends, or maybe they're, he didn't say this, they're friends or acquaintances. Maybe he's, I don't know what's in his head. You know, I've said many times that I think he's definitely in the spectrum. I know a couple of years ago when the one person was trying to defend his son, when people were saying that his younger son is in the spectrum. And, you know, the worst part about that, and I even wrote it, was they're all coming down on the autistic guy that was defending his son, you know, not calling his son autistic, just defending him if he was in the spectrum, but not the actual one that actually said he was in the spectrum. It was a bunch of bully people bullying his son, you know, and the autistic guy who actually said, you know, was more defending his son, you know, but then the first lady comes out and more makes him apologize, more bullying him, which I thought was more unfair. That I remember tweeting about that, and I usually didn't get involved with anything, but I did say that, you know, the apple wouldn't be falling far from the tree, you know, and that is on the record. I did respond to that. I don't know if it was via tweet or I posted. I don't remember exactly. That was a good long time ago. That was actually when he was when he actually won, and he was his beginning speeches or something. But anyway, I don't want to get off onto that. And I'm not swaying either way. I am just a person that is looking for people to represent, you know, respectfully. That's it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican. And honestly, that's the truth. I've said many times what I have been registered, and basically that's it. Anyway, back to I was never, my cause was never politics. It was only until our president started interfering into mocking disabled people and calling mentally ill people monsters, and that's when I was feeling more offended. And the immigration thing, separating children from their parents, and that was very, for me, being separated and taken away from my mother, you know, though, again, again, I want to stay focused, though I never can. It's a traumatic experience, and then hearing things that were happening, it's uncalled for. When, you know, it was just heartbreaking. You know, it's something kids just don't forget. And you can't do that. It's just, you just, So anyway, I think, I don't know, how do I get back focused? Let's read this thing. How many minutes are we in? And hold on. Hello? Hello?
Hi, it's Pat, the nurse from the Department of Social Services.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You didn't retire yet, I see.
Nope. Soon. Soon.
How you doing?
Okay. This is